Storm. This is Derek White Sky Cloud, and you're listening to Between Two Worlds on bbsradio.com. And I'm back from my trip. I'm sorry. I'd apologize to everybody that I wasn't there last Tuesday, but I had to make a trip up to Slave Lake, Alberta. And I did a diabetes conference up there, and it was fabulous. I had a really great time working with the First Nations Cree people with the Drift Pile First Nation, and I really enjoyed it being there. And I'd like to thank them, too, if they're listening in on the show, that I really appreciated their hospitality and asking me to be the MC. I was actually very surprised when they asked me to be MC part of the program. And having to reach out to a lot of people on the in that area, and it was a great time. I enjoyed what I was doing there. You know, there is a great deal of healing that's needed by a lot of people, and you know, diabetes is really considered one of the top issues regarding health that you know, people call it a disease. I don't really find it to be specifically a disease, but my understanding of it is that we also deal with issues that we don't understand. How come we always come across our illnesses in our lives, and why are so many family members and so many people in our lives become diabetic? And in my tradition, in my family relatives and all my Aboriginal relatives out there, you know, in our part of our lives, 80% of our people, 80% of our people, you think about it, are actually diabetic. And that's why we always have to always take care of our health, especially when you start reaching into your 30s and 40s and 50s on up. And as you begin to grow into a higher level of weight gain, or if you start not taking care of yourself, and you know, you're unable sometimes people always feel they're unable to afford certain foods or certain things in life. Well, there's such thing as gardens, you know. If we can start growing our own gardens again, instead of having to depend upon your stores a lot too, because sometimes once in a while it doesn't hurt to have your own grow your own garden and grow your own herbs. I'm not going to say take the stores away from all of us, but once in a while we need to have fresh live food, and that's really important to us to help us heal. But like I said before, I really had a great time up and with the Drift Pile First Nations up in Slave Lake, Alberta, and I'd like to thank you guys out there so much, and Miigwech in your language, which means thank you. It was absolutely fabulous, and I would love to do it again, and I'm looking forward to doing it. To let everybody else know out there, too, I actually got an email, and what I want to do is actually there's someone who actually is calling in right now and wants to ask me a question, and I'll talk about this email later on. So, the caller who has been waiting to come online, I'm looking forward to have a chat with. So that person, if you're there.
Hello.
Hello, who am I talking to?
Marion.
Marion, where are you from?
I'm from Surrey, British Columbia.
From Surrey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're from my territory.
Mm-hmm.
Have I met you before?
No, you haven't, but I emailed you yesterday, and you emailed me back just saying to go on to your website and click on the Between Two Worlds, and that you'd be on between 8 and 9.
Okay.
So I emailed you about a boy named Noah. I don't know if you recall reading my long letter.
You know what? This is the letter I was going to tell everybody right now on radio. Do you mind if I share that with everyone first?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just about to do that. Hang on one second.
Yeah, because this is all really new to me. I had a friend actually refer you to me by email, so, and I found your website really interesting, so
yeah.
I'll give you a little email.
Okay, well, I'll tell the story, because you sent me this wonderful email, and I wanted to share that with everybody, because I have it right in front of me right now. It says here, hello, I was given your website by a friend at work, and my friend said that perhaps you could help me with some things. I'm not sure how to start, but I will try. About 5 years ago, a mother in the USA drowned her 5 children. I became interested in the story because my first child was the exact same age as her youngest child and having children. I was very interested in the story. I read articles in the paper and watched television shows about the case. When she was sentenced to life in prison, they ultimately stopped showing her in the news. I also had to stop because it was making me depressed. And how could a woman who said she loved her children so much do this to them? I felt anger towards her. About 5 years has passed, and I have literally forgotten about them. This is where my story takes a turn. In July of this year, the woman was retried and found not guilty by reason of insanity. I was outraged to hear this, so again, I became interested in the case. I recently received a computer from a relative and now was able to search the web. I looked up every article I could on the story, and the family, the children, and it was very interesting. I again felt pretty down in the dumps trying to imagine everything that happened to those poor kids. As I was looking up some info on the web, I came across the children's birthdays, and the eldest of the same day as the eldest son, who was most drawn to for some reason or other, was born on the same day as myself, February 26th. I'm a Pisces, very spiritual. I didn't think it much about it, but then as I digged deeper, I found out that he was very artsy and loved crafts and drawings and coloring. On the children's website, the father made for his children. There are photos of pictures he drew. He also loved the same things as a child. My son is the same. I also loved the name of this child, Noah. Funny enough, I was thinking of naming my child that very same name, but my husband wasn't too keen on it. This boy's favorite book was called Hope for the Flowers. And I bought the book for my son, and he loves it. He asks me to read it all the time, and I hope you're not wondering where is she going with all this babble. Doesn't sound babble to me. I decided I was spending too much time looking up stuff to do with a story on the computer, and so I stopped completely. I wanted to get on with my life, and I felt like this was dragging me down. This is where I need your help. This boy loves butterflies, so I thought it would be a gentle reminder to me if my email was him. 26butterflies@yahoo.ca. This is beautiful. 26 being the same, being the day that we both were born, I also love butterflies, and I have a butterfly garden in my backyard. This is where I need your help. It seems that ever since I stopped reading about anything to do with the story of the deaths, I see butterflies everywhere. I was trying to look up the name of this medium my sister gave me, and I was looking in my junk drawer, and there was this glasses case with beautiful butterflies all over it. The next day, I was out at Wendy's with my kids, and on the tray, they give you a paper that covers the tray. Well, on the back of it, there was some pictures for kids to color, and there were pictures of the butterflies to color. That same day, I drove into Safeway parking lot, and there in the front of me was a van with beautiful multicolored bumper sticker of a butterfly. These things have been happening ever since but I am not sure what it all means. I know in my heart that it means something. Could you tell me if it means anything at all? I am sorry I have to give you a huge story, but I wanted you to know a little bit about the history, not just the questions. I have recently changed my thinking in regards to the mother. I really do not blame her as I used to, and I'm feeling very sorry for her because she, too, suffered a huge loss ever since it was by her own hands. She's paying the ultimate price for her mental condition, and I want to get in touch with her to write to her. I cannot tell my husband, he would think there was something wrong with me, but we are all human beings, and we all need time or other in our lives. I just thought I maybe be able to help her heal somehow. Maybe this is why her son is trying to reach out to me. He has something to say to his mother, and my friend told me that every time I see a butterfly that no one wants to say hi. This is beautiful. So now whenever I see a butterfly, I say out loud, "Hi, Noah," and that way I feel connected to him. I wanted to make an appointment to sit with the medium to see if I could reach him somehow, and with Christmas coming and so many things that have happened in my life, but I don't see many butterflies anymore. I kind of feel Noah slipping away and that he's losing interest with me because I haven't been focusing on sitting with the medium. I often find myself thinking of him in the car and saying out loud to myself, don't lose me, Noah, I am still here. Once again, I will see a butterfly here or there. Could you email me back? Well, here I am. Beautiful, beautiful letter.
I was going to say, it's heart-wrenching.
You're reading it back to me. Because I can feel the tears in your eyes. You know, I'll tell you one thing. These kind of things happen quite often when I hear stories and see stories about mothers that take their children's lives.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is not really all to do with, you know, some people feel that the parent hates their child or how come, why would the parent do that? And my understanding is that sometimes a mother, once in a while, has a mental disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And which basically she feels fear for her children that once, well, actually, to give you an example, I believe this mother, if I think this is the one who I'm thinking of, is she thought the devil was trying to chase her and the devil told her to kill her children, to take their lives. And it wasn't the word kill. She felt fearful that there, you know, that this, the darkness was going to attack her and kill her children, so she took their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's other moments where, example, there have been mothers, again, who have had mental disorders where I can't remember the name of it, but they actually would overly protect the child to the point that they could not allow anyone to come near to the child for
mm-hmm.
fear the child would die.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened to me with my second wife. She had the same similar type of disorder, not to hurt my son, but to she's fearful of anyone even coming close, including me.
Mm-hmm.
And she would hold on to him so tight. And she felt fear that he would die on her, like she was afraid that something would happen.
Yeah.
What I realized after that, because she had a sister who died of brain cancer, who was much older, and that's where she took that pain with her, thinking that she was afraid that, you know, I've already lost one family member, I'm not going to lose another one. And she lost her grandfather and she lost her older sister, and that's where she had that thinking that, well, I don't want my child to lose my child, this is all I have left in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't mad at her. I felt sad for her, the fact that she ended up allowing this to happen to her. Back then, this was in the mid-70s, in the mid-80s, or early 80s, where a lot of doctors didn't really know why mothers go through that, you know, why the mother has these type of women sometimes have these, I will say the word dysfunction disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a brain stem issue, and it's not just because of women, because just pretty well, sometimes it happens. And she could have been into a manic depressive, and they never mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
See? She could
have been
manic depressive and took the child's life. Sometimes manic depressives will take their own lives.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is that, you know, when you become quite an intuitive, do you remember the story about a fellow by the name of Michael Dennehy?
Yep.
Remember how he disappeared many, many years ago and everybody thought that, you know, he probably would have grown up by now?
Yeah.
And a lot of us mediums got the message that Michael's life was taken.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt that he was taken somewhere and everybody kept trying to solve the case. He was moved here. He was moved there.
Mm-hmm.
My feelings, I don't think Michael's around. And yet, he kept coming to me, he kept coming to another medium, he kept switching around us all the time. He's going back and forth to so many people across the land that I've met, and he kept saying, Michael came to me, Michael came to me, Michael came to me. Why is Michael coming to us? Well, he wants himself to be found.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, every time we get the message from Michael, nobody really does know where he is at.
Oh.
And every time he shows us symbols or signals where he's supposed to be at, every time I go there, suddenly that area is not there.
Oh, okay.
Whether it's built over, or the body's been moved, or he has already moved on. And that's what happens. You see, with Noah doesn't really realize that he's passed away.
Even though
all
he
knows is when a child is young, they don't think of danger in their lives. They think of trust with their parents. They think of trust with the mother and the father. That's when the mother takes a child's life, all the child wants to do is say, Mommy, why'd you do this to me?
Mm-hmm.
And why did you take my life? And so this little child is trying to make contact with mom, saying, Mom, I know you're sad, and you're unable to see me or hear me because mom is highly drugged on medication. Mm-hmm. When the mama is highly drugged on medication, and I know this because in prisons they do that, they give you a medication that they put you, anybody who's depressed, they put you high medications to the point where you don't even know half the time what's going on around you and mm-hmm. your surroundings. And so you're dealing with that for the remaining of the years until they let you go. Mm-hmm. Most prisons do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always learned one thing, that a mother or anyone in this world has learned lessons that whether they've taken a life themselves will also learn by what you call karmic paths. So when this woman here is reborn into life again, she mm-hmm. herself will play the role of that child that she has taken in life, and that she'll come around and become that boy in that one life, and she'll lose her life. We're very well similar the same way. But mm-hmm. it depends if it was intent. It depends if she was mentally disorder, mm-hmm. like the way the brain is working. Mm-hmm. It depends on how she felt in that time, why she took her child's life, because I feel that sometimes people say, well, she felt threatened. She felt fear.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the same story. These things do happen.
Yeah, I don't know. She had 5 children, so she had drowned all 5 of them
yeah.
in the bathtub.
I really feel that she felt that herself, that she, I remember if this is the same case, I believe this is the one that she was actually saying that she felt threatened, that there was someone who was like what she called the devil was chasing her, and she took her life because, not because he told her to, or she said maybe God told her to, but it's like mm-hmm. saying that she was dealing with mental disorder and she probably did not have a medication or understood the medication.
Yeah, and she
wasn't
these things
do happen.
Mother.
The only thing we can do is forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to forgive them. It's important mm-hmm. because the thing is that, you know, there is a thing as God's law and there's man's law.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example. When O.J. Simpson, okay, now they made a big issue and story about O.J. Simpson. Now, he may have or may not have taken the life of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this, if he did, which most likely I do believe he did,
mm-hmm.
there is God's law and man's law. Man's law, he got away with it, and God's law, he won't.
Mm-hmm.
That means that he'll learn his lessons. If he has learned his lesson, when it's time to see his life review, when he has passed over, he will experience the pain, the anguish, the issues, and come back as a woman himself and go through the same karmic path. So
mm-hmm.
he will not get away with what he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
But these are lessons that we learn. Now, with butterflies,
mm-hmm.
absolutely beautiful. There are 2 types of symbols that most people follow, is butterflies and dragonflies.
Mm-hmm.
Butterflies talk about transitional changes,
mm-hmm.
And the butterfly also comes to you because it's teaching you that you have a lot of things happening in your life that you're also going to go through a lot of transitions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, mm-hmm. I wouldn't put it past if you do have a fairly good beginning of a psychic experience that you don't know what to do or may not know what to do with it, and
yeah,
if you were willing to
do
classes, to take courses.
Mm-hmm.
Just to help you along, help understand better about what you are dealing with, because right now your closest connection, even though you do have children of your own, but the closest connection to spiritual kids that are in spirit, and they want to make contact with you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense at all?
I think so, it does. I just wasn't really sure. Like, I just actually, right before I called you, I was upstairs looking in a magazine. I'm at my mom's house, and there was a little butterfly jewel box in this magazine.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure. Like, I don't know if he's just trying to say hello to me, or if he wants me, if that's all it is, or if there's anything more.
Is
it just basically just to say hello? Or?
You're going to hear from him again,
mm-hmm.
because he wants you to visit and say hello. He feels comfortable with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is an American family where you're living in Surrey, British Columbia, and we're in
mm-hmm.
Canada. There is no distance between. You know, there's no borders between Canadian ghosts and American ghosts. You know what?
Yes. That's right.
We don't have that. They just by word of thought, they feel closely connected to you because you vibrate to their energy.
Okay, so
and
I kind
so they come
it
to you that
myself.
Way. And that's what I said. A lot of times, we have young loved ones that are passed over. They want to make contact with us, and yet we also have people that want to make contact with us. We've never seen them before,
mm-hmm.
or even heard them before, but yet to come to us and say, I need your help. Can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have what's called a guiding light. And it's in the front of your chest. It's part of the soul. And that guiding light is for everyone that the spirit has passed over is attracted to us. And so they're asking us to help them on their journey, whether they think themselves they feel lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because when someone says to you, you know, when they pass over, they're saying you need to go to the light. Well, the light is the light of God, but also we go walk with the light of God within us.
Mm-hmm.
And at times our light is so bright because you are playing the mother role. The mother's role is much brighter than a male role of a father.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the male role of the father plays a role as masculine protection. He's the hunter. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't always go out and look for the children that are lost, only if it's his own child.
Mm-hmm.
The mother, she plays the role of everyone's protector. She's the mother hand and surrounds everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the reason why your hands are reaching out, that I will help you, I will help you. Noah, wherever you are, I will help you.
But how am I supposed to do that?
Well, you are. You already did. You made contact with me.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, I would say, you do have Noah still around you, but he comes to you only in symbols right now. And most time, if he does come to you, he will come to you in a dream time. Just let you know he's okay, and eventually you will be making contact. You may make in contact with his mother, but at this moment, I would say for you to do, whether you did send a letter to his mother or not, whether she will acknowledge you, is up to you. Because sometimes, like I said, when you're highly medicated, they may not think what they did wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's
it takes
in
a lot of years. She's doing life in prison. There's no way.
I think she's actually not in prison anymore. I believe she's actually was found not guilty, and she's now in a mental institute.
Oh yeah, there you go. That's what I was saying. She was put away. I thought it was like a yes. Well, it's like mental institution. Basically, she's there the rest of her life.
Yeah.
They won't release her.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did release her, it'll probably be she'll be looking about 25 years at least, because
mm-hmm.
she has to. It's like saying that you're. They help them go through programs. By the time they're done with her, she may not even know why she did it.
Yeah.
And sometimes she'll even cradle a baby that's in spirit, and her children, mm-hmm. still, as far as she's concerned, all she knows is her children being her babies,
mm-hmm.
not knowing that in spirit they're actually already grown up as the adults in time.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll always think that her children are all of existence. The only way she'll find that her children have passed over, realize that she has what she has done, is when she steps over to the side herself, and then she's got to make amends with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so did I choose him, or did he choose me?
Noah chose you. Yeah, he came to you first. It happens quite often with anybody who's in spirit. We sometimes don't really realize that when we get signals, people call
mm-hmm.
us through signals, and they'll let us know what's going on, and whether we have dreams,
mm-hmm.
Whether we have symbols, and the symbols can be butterflies, can be dragonflies, can be dragons, could be unicorns, pegasus, could be any kind of symbol that you would get your attention. And they'll even use animals that you've actually had that have passed over to get your attention in a dream.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can actually know there's a dog walking up to you, and it's your dog, and your dog's holding on to this boy, or
mm-hmm.
walking next to this boy, and you're going like, okay, who's the boy? I know my dog, but who's the boy? Because
mm-hmm.
your dog got your attention to look at the boy,
mm-hmm.
and the boy tells you after his name is Noah.
Yeah.
Okay,
wow.
And that's how they do that. They'll get your attention by using your animals or whoever
mm-hmm.
you're closest to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's really nice. Thank you very much for
your
time.
You're welcome.
And I was wondering, is it possible at all to maybe have sit down with you and talk to you, or?
Yeah, what you can do is you can give me a call.
Okay.
Go to my website.
Okay.
It's www.whiteskycloud.com.
Yep.
Go to my website, and you'll see my email. My email is actually whitesguycloud@yahoo.com.
Okay.
You can email me again, and like you have previously before, and if you want to get a full reading, I have PayPal on my site.
Okay.
If you want to find out what's happening with your family, that's what I do.
Okay.
Okay.
That would be wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you so
much.
It's a
pleasure
for responding. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for the email.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Yes. I just got this email last night, and it got my attention because, this happens quite often. You think to yourself, okay, what am I going to talk about regarding on the radio show? It's amazing how people just show up in your life, and they're always asking a question regarding, what's going to happen in their life, and, what's going to happen to me, or I don't know what to do next. There was a lady that actually one time called me up, and she had no idea. She's in her late 50s, early 60s, and asked me. She said, I was a school teacher all my life, and I decided not to continue on being a teacher in the school, but she said, but I don't know where my life is going from here, and I'm just so confused. I don't know what to do. These things do happen. People at times feel like they have, not the end of the world, but they want to do something different. They want to get something to awaken them again. You know, even though her husband passed away quite young before her, and her children are all grown up and moved on, but yet she's living with her children once in a while. But yet she herself did not know what to do. And then I was talking to her, giving her spiritual advice from spirit, saying, this is what I'm seeing you doing. Which she says, well, is that you telling me what you want me to do, or is that spirit telling you? And I said, it's spirit telling you, because I'm only the voice. I'm only the guide. I'm not telling you what to do. And this is the thing that we're, some psychics, mediums, at times, they think that they're the only ones that give the answer. And it's not really, we all know that. Anybody who's professional knows that we are just the messengers. So, and then sometimes we do make mistakes. So you can't always use that famous phrase like "don't shoot the messenger." We believe what we hear, what we feel by emotion, by message. We're not always wrong. Things can change in a different matter, and sometimes people will always say, "Well, give me the exact time, give me the exact date." We can't always do it all the time. Even if you're doing premonitions and weathers and what's going to happen next and. We can't always do that all the time. We try to do a remote viewing to see if there's anything of any changes. Well, I'm telling you right now, I used to always say that we're living in Canadian California, which basically British Columbia never gets snow. I mean, we had the freakiest snowstorm. Here I am commenting on it. We had the freakiest snowstorm for almost 2 weeks. We ended up getting snow up to our knees. Here in British Columbia, not in the northern part of British Columbia, but here close to the southern part, which mostly we very, very seldom ever have snow that deep, but it's coming down heavily every day. It's like a wet snow, but yet it was sticky, and it's so funny watching my dog trying to walk through the snow, and she's so small, and she fell right through it. You can only see the head bump. She's jumping up and down, up and down, up and down, look like a rabbit going on top of the bank, but yet when she goes down really hard, watching her face go right in the snow, and it's so cute when you see your dogs, and here you're trying to find a chunk of green grass or a bare spot for them to use when you take them out for a walk, and there's nothing there for them to use because they're so used to the grass. They're going like, what's this snow? What is it? Like, they don't even snow. They're going like, I'm looking for grass. Where is it? It's so funny. But we try to do the best we can to walk and enjoy our animals in our lives. And we try to make the best of it, you know, to survive through the snowstorms. I mean, we people in British Columbia don't know how to walk in snow or drive in snow. Or I'm telling you, everybody panics. They go into a panic mode. All of a sudden, someone says, snow, run! You know, like we're being invaded. And my wife laughed the other day. We're driving down the road, and that very same time the snow was falling, she said, it looks like giant bees running and flying into your windshield. I just thought it was pretty cute. And anyways, with this journey that we are on, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more new things happening. And I've been really busy doing a lot of traveling lately, so I'm going to have a great time here. And if anybody else wants to call in, we've got the numbers here available. We have, I'll give you the phone numbers right now so if you want to phone in. The phone numbers are, the call in and speak live, is toll free, 877-876-5227. That's for the U.S. people, 877-876-5227. And we also have our Canadian people, 888, that's 888-888, and then it's 810-8322. 888-810-8322. And anybody who's international from across the world, which we've actually have had some people calling in from that time, areas across the world, it's 530-876-3222. And we got a caller. And what is your name? And welcome. And where are you from?
Hello, Derek. This is Homie calling.
Hi, Homie. How you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
How's the weather over there?
Well, it's a little bit chilly. It's like 72 degrees. That's Celsius, of course. No, Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit.
You go by Fahrenheit, don't you? You go by Celsius.
We go by Celsius. You know why that's funny? Because when I was born, we were taught Fahrenheit. And back in 1972, Quebec or Canada, I guess the eastern part of Canada, decided to change everything into a different way. I guess from France influence or Quebec influence, we go French, and we always had, us farmers, our farm kids, you know, we've always had difficulties with trying to figure out the difference between Fahrenheit and Celsius. And even from the mileage, you know, like, for example, if you're driving down the highway and it says 110 on the highway, anybody from the United States going, oh, I can go 110 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And they're zooming down that road. Wow, this is the fastest highway I ever had. And you realize after it's actually kilometers.
You went about 65 miles per hour, 110?
We're between 67, 68 miles an hour. But it's funny when you see that, because the first time when it started coming out, people thought they can speed faster than and they used to use that as an excuse. They're still trying to get away with it.
Yeah, well, you know, they go to Canada, they see that, they think about also over in Europe, you have that main thoroughfare. I forget what they, off the top of my head, I don't know what they call it. The Autobahn, I think it is, where they can go about 85, 95 miles per hour.
Yeah.
When they go up there, you see the sign say 110. Wow, I can go 110 now. Oh, wow.
Full speed ahead, you know. You gotta be
well, yeah,
driving.
I could say for temperature, it's 72 degrees Fahrenheit, and which is, I gather, something like about 18 Celsius.
Yeah.
And the barometer or whatever, the humidity index is like 60%.
Yeah.
But no precipitation in the air. But that, and it's a little windy, so the windshield makes it about 60 or 58 degrees.
Yeah.
And right now I'm sitting right next to my sliding glass door with a little breeze coming in. And if I was outside, I'd be wearing a jacket. So.
Yeah, she would be.
I'm not used to being anything below 72 degrees.
Yeah. Well, myself, we're not used to being out in the snow. And like I was up in Alberta, next province over, and we were 35 below, and in the snow. And but yet it's a drier cold. It's not a wet, damp cold. Here we have a damper cold. And even though it's the closest, I think the coldest ever been, I think, is minus 10. And a lot of people did not know how to handle that minus 10, but it's a damper 10. It gets chilled through your bones here. So, and also, remember, you and I have a show coming up in February.
Oh, yes. February,
you want to share that with us?
Oh, yes. We have that show on February 4th, 2007. That's with you, Scott Christensen, and Jill Dane, Victor Baines, and that will be on Ghostly Talk Radio at ghostlytalk.com with the host Doug and Scott L.
Yeah.
So
what we're going to do, what I like to do down the road too, is get a hold of those guys and have them come over on this side and have a chat with them and do the show on BBS as well. We need to reach out and let people know about what's happening eventually, what's happening in the future in certain areas of this world.
Because
mm-hmm.
We'll be discussing many prophecies that night. So
yeah,
and I think people, even in your country up there, I'm sure that they'd like to know about certain prophetic writings and what they really do mean. So
especially through a Nostradamus way of thinking.
Oh yes,
you know.
And when they talk about with Nostradamus when he writes about 2025 and I think 3765. Those years ahead of us, and then they, you know, I think we have to try to get to some understanding of what all these prophecies really do mean for everybody, because some people out there are thinking, what, with the Mayan calendar, they're thinking that it's the end of the world is 2012.
So they think.
So they think. But we have to try. you know, in some aspects of what we'd like to try to do for everybody is try to say, hey, don't think about the end of the world, because it really isn't the end of the world yet, and it won't be for a while.
Well, let's really clear. I don't think it'd be the end of the world. You're looking at about maybe the year 3200 or 3250, because, I mean, this is what Spirit told me. The year 2012, really, as far as I understand it, what they're telling me is that it's a transitional change. It's a spiritual change where people become awakened by of the new age, not a new age. Like, some people call it new age philosophy. Well, there's a difference between new age philosophy. New age philosophy is not a new age philosophy. It's actually the new age philosophy is talking about the old age, the old ways that we used to walk, the traditional ways that we used to learn by going back to the earth and learn how to deal with picking the herbs and growing your garden, getting back into traditional way of healing instead of having to be controlled by government issues and government functions and who says and who says what and who says this.
Well, I think
you control your own life and surviving.
I think in the near future, you know, I think we're going to see a change of us, mankind, going back to the natural way of living in a lot of aspects.
Yeah, and a lot of that too. Well, people are going to have the fear of that change because they're going to be so used to doing things for themselves or having people taking care of them that they don't know. They're not too sure how they're going to survive. I'll give you an example. I mean, we've actually had so many movies and videos come out about catastrophes and how what would happen if the world had earthquakes, what it would happen if the world had hurricanes, what would happen if the world had floods, what would happen if the world had tremors and or the sky started blackening over and there's no sun, and then all of a sudden then people say, well, what happens if we got a bunch of UFOs and they're going to invade the earth and take all the people? Well, here's number one. Number one, we've already had about a million people taken off the planet by the extraterrestrials a long time, for many generations. They've only been used for experimental issues, for experimental means from the past. This is from like thousands and thousands of years, and some have never been returned. That's why some people say they go missing, they don't know where they're at. But they're also used for experimental means of having children, because a lot of the planets are dying off, and so they're needing some people, mostly the women, to inbreed to carry on other alien forms so the planets won't die. Second of all, we also have Earth that needs to shift. The Earth is shifting. Yes, people kept on talking about global warming. Well, here's your global warming. It's shifting already. We're not waiting for it. It's already happening. Global warming. Look at your weather change. How much has been coming? It's not hitting you all at once. It's coming through in sections, little dabs of it, and you're getting affected by it. How would a person feel if you got it hit all at once? Nobody would ever survive. No one would ever survive. This way here, you're going dabs here, a dab there. Well, let's have a hurricane over here for a little bit, and we'll see how that devastating that has become. Now we're having a war in another part of the world. Okay, well, we've got to deal with that. But if you start getting a hurricane storm and an earthquake, say in Iraq, or a hurricane storm in Afghanistan, and an earthquake in Afghanistan, you're not going to even have to worry about who's going to win the war. Everybody's going to start taking care of each other and watching over each other, because nobody wants to pass that quickly.
That's right.
Does that make sense? So the thing is,
that makes sense.
What God's done for us is offer us opportunity to see each other as a brother and sister, to work together as family, to work together as a nation, not to take divide worlds apart. And that's why I talk about my title of my show is called Between Two Worlds. Because you learn to come together in two different ways. One, you make contact between two worlds in spirit, and you're also trying to bring together two worlds. People that are divided away through whether they believe they have a religious means, but you don't have to be a good. You call yourself a good Christian to say that you're better than me. You don't have to call yourself a Buddha to say that you are who you are. Everyone is equal. I don't care what religion you are. You are who you are, and you're called a human kind. You are.
Yeah, you're a human being. Cell, and we're all the same to what, 98%.
Yep.
Okay, and is it really necessary to kill each other off? I mean, you know, after all, especially like with the guy who runs North Korea. I mean, you know, with the nuclear bomb that he wants to try to test and everything, they really don't want him to test because the capabilities of what could happen as far as earthquakes and different other things that it could happen, which has already took place when he took his last test.
That man did try to test that bomb once already, but he only tested a 500-pound bomb, nuclear bomb. So how would you have felt if he tested a 500,000-pound bomb?
In the end, he asked him why to do that.
He goes, sorry. Well, he was testing us. You know, testing us how fearful we could be of him. But we didn't become fearful. We became angry because we're thinking, you stupid guy, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why do you want to kill all these people off? Why? Because sometimes people feel like, you know, they want to be like a king. They want to control.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
the aspect with him to let off this bomb, if he was to bomb places, if you start off nuclear war, nobody's going to survive. Everybody's going to die.
That's right.
So what's the setting off a bomb?
Might be foolish, yeah. And anybody who says to me, well, they're going to have bomb shelters, yeah, good luck. Because bomb shelters, basically, what if something blows up and the earth started to fall on top of the bomb shelter? How are you going to get out of your shelter? So it makes no difference whether you're under the ground, above the ground, sideways, in and out. If you're meant to be, if God wants you to be at a certain place at a certain time and well protected, you would not come to harm. He would make sure that you would not come to harm. But if those people in this world are meant to have lost their lives, then they have given up their lives for a reason, to teach us lessons. As we call ourselves a self-sacrifice, whether we're doing it for war, whether we're doing it for peace, whether we're doing it for our loved ones, people are self-sacrifice. Basically, for example, we have a father who actually, say, for example, had a heart attack. Now, he may not have been able to help his family as often as he can in the living, and he felt really sad. This way, he had a heart attack. In spirit, mom and dad, or mom and the kids, all of a sudden, there's money coming in for them. And things are happening. Mom's getting a job. Mom has all this. And yet mom could be upset and angry that her husband passed away. Why all of a sudden things are in this way? Because in spirit, through contract, a father or whoever the loved one is will give one's life so others may live. It's like that's how Christ has become in that life. Christ gave his life for all of us so we may live. He gave his life for a reason, so we can understand the issues and differences of what we're dealing with regarding sacrifice, self-sacrifice, and even helping people in the healing aspect of different ways and different aspects of it.
Well, when you mention about how our lives are here for a reason, everything, doesn't that take away, we still have free will?
There is free will, but we put the free will in front of us by basically, we have a birth contract before we're born. We were making choices what we want to do in life. And spirit says to you, okay, now what have you learned in the last life? What did you want to learn in this life? What do you want to continue on now? Because you don't have to repeat yourself unless you became addicted to something, for example, an alcoholic, drug user, and you're trying to work out those issues that you did in past life, or maybe you committed suicide in that last life, and maybe you need to fix up this coming file, this type of life, this life you have right now. So yet, you still have those feelings you want to commit suicide. You have those feelings you want to go to drug abuse. You want to feel those feelings that you want to drink again. And yet, you don't know why you're doing it. You have those feelings that you want to be a military soldier. You have those feelings you want to be a doctor. You have those feelings you want to... those feelings are guiding you already in your birth contract, sharing, telling you that this is where they see, they're showing you what you can do. If you change your mind and decide not to become a doctor, say you want to become... say a healer in the doctoring field, but you're not specifically the medical doctor, but decide to go into the healing field and go into the earth medicine. You're still in the doctoring, but you're doctoring from the earth. You're not doctoring through medical means, through medical doctoring industry, scientific industry, but you're still doctoring.
That's how some people go on in life. You know, as you said, you know, they feel that they need to be a doctor, but how they turn out to be, what type of a doctor,
It doesn't always have to be scalpels. You know, you can always be you could be a foot doctor, you could be, you know, depending on how, what you feel is important to you. Now, I've actually met people who were, became psychologists, psychiatrists, physiotherapists, and yet they were training to be a medical doctor in the beginning, and then they changed their mind to become this other field. Or sometimes doctors will actually leave their field and become a lecturer. Or they leave their field and become whatever they want. Again, you're given free will. Yes, it's true. You're given free will. And there are times, too, that parents have a tendency of saying, well, I want my son to be a doctor, or I want my daughter to be a nurse, I want my daughter to be this, and daughter to be that, and to keep it in the family. That is so Americanized. I mean, they want you to be on top of the world, make lots of money, be happy. Guess what? Sometimes those kids out there are not always happy. And I've always told to people who I've met in life, if you're not happy with what you are or what you have as far as your job is concerned, if you're not too sure, don't do this for your parents. You got to do it for you.
That's right.
You have to be satisfied with yourself. You have to be satisfied with what you can do, what you can fulfill. You can't always, you're not really disappointing your parents. Your parents just could not do what you did. Okay, because sometimes a father, maybe they may have never been able to become a doctor, and you say, I want my daughter to become a doctor. Well, why? Is she going to be happy with it? We don't know. Does she want to do the job? We don't know. But if she decides to become a doctor, how long will it last? Would she be happy with her job? It depends on her. But if her father passes away, I'm not going to be a doctor anymore.
That's true.
See, so it depends on what she wants to do. Sometimes we'll step back from that.
Yeah, some people try to appease their parents more than their own life.
Exactly.
They sort of give up their own life to please their parents. And then once the parents die, they go off and do whatever they wanted to do.
Exactly, they do. And the thing is that they'll say, well, I did this for my parents. I'll waste 20 years of my life being a doctor. I don't like this no more. I decide not to do it, or I backed off. Well, yes, but I always tell people, you need to filter what feels right for you. Filter what comes into your heart. Be happy with that, and you have so much to fulfill. But you got to be happy with yourself, including relationships. Be happy, happy with yourself. You know, like another part that society today has really, I want to say the word crippled, our children. And that is, society sometimes has a tendency of overdressing or underdressing our children today. I'm saying is that, for example, we have our supermodels, whether they are going into bulimia, losing more weight than they should, or gaining more weight than they should, anorexic, they're thinking they're not beautiful enough. They pick on their body parts. They pick on their features. They pick on their voice. They pick on what the kind of personality they like. Society today, God brought you into this world. God gave you a gift, and it's called the human body. And that gift has to be maintained and taken care of. God gave you that vehicle, and that vehicle has to be taken care of like your regular car or something that you really cherish. You have to take care of that. If you don't take care of your body, how can you exist? And that's important. But it's also learning lesson two is that you need to learn to become yourself, not someone else that you're not. Yes, we do have Hollywoodized ideas. Want to be like somebody else who's a famous movie star, singer, entertainer, whatever have you. That's fine. If you want to be inspired by that, that's wonderful. But you can't, and you know that, you cannot be another one of the same of the other personality. You may look like that person at a body double once in a while, but you don't necessarily have to be them. You have to learn to be comfortable with yourself. No matter who you are, how large you are, how small you are, you learn to be comfortable with yourself, and then when you become comfortable with yourself, then you'll have a happy life.
That's the whole bowl of wax in a nutshell, I gather, right?
Definitely. But we come across this quite often. I get this quite often in my clients. And a lot of young women, they're always worried about their figures or their facial features.
Yeah.
And they want to look like...
Did I lose enough weight so I can be a model? Do I have, you know...
Yeah.
It's gone too far with this society.
Even, for example, even myself, you know, I used to worry about what I look like. I'm not going to look like a slob, but I used to worry what people thought about me, you know, as a kid growing up. And my mother told me, she took me outside, and she said, you know what? You have to be comfortable with yourself. They don't know you. You got to be comfortable with yourself. And when you begin to know yourself, then you know who you are, then you don't have to impress anybody. And she was right, because I don't have to impress nobody. I am comfortable with myself. I'm proud of who I am. And that's the important part. I don't care what race you are. You need to be comfortable with yourself, and you'll do successful. You become successful. And you make the intent, and you'll do well.
What's the famous saying? You first love yourself before you can love everybody else.
Exactly.
If you don't love yourself, how can you love anybody else?
True.
So first concentrate on yourself and then concentrate on the people around you.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, homie, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Nice talking to you, Derek, and welcome back to your radio show.
Thank you.
I wish you the best of luck with the future on the radio show, which I'm sure you'll enjoy a lot of good times.
Yeah.
And hope to be on your show, and maybe we could be a little bit more informative for the people on prophetic writings, and hope to talk to you again in the future. And don't forget, we got that February 4th show.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be coming up. We're going to have fun doing that.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Take care. It's, your time is running short here, and thank you again for having me on your show.
It's been a pleasure, homie. Take care.
Thank you, and may God bless.
You too.
Take care. Bye.
Well, we're almost at close to closing time, but I want to share with you, if anybody out there wants to get a psychic reading, I work as a psychic and medium, and those of you there that have been listening to the show for the very first time, I do talk to those who passed over, and I live in here in Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, and if anybody wishes to get a reading, even if by phone, I do phone readings. So it's not something that you have to try to arrive here at my home, because sometimes people are from other countries and other parts of the other world. I do phone readings. I can do the same kind of work as everybody else. And I do have PayPal available. If you want to call, give me a call to make an appointment, you're more than welcome to. Go to my website. It's whiteskycloud.com, whiteskycloud.com. And you go to my website, and you'll find my phone number. And my email address is whiteskycloud@yahoo.com. I am a writer. I actually written a book, and it's called Spiritual Journeys with White Sky Cloud. And I do have the book available on my site, as well as you can actually go down to, when you're on BBS Radio, you look on the lower right corner, and you'll see the flash adverts in the lower right corner on BBS Radio, and see my book that's available. It's $20 plus shipping and handling. And you'll enjoy the book itself. It's very spiritually, it's all to do with channel writings, and it all teaches you how to deal with issues in life and how to handle it and how to walk with it, so not have to show fear. And you basically can use it as a daily teaching tool. It's not something you just read and put it away. Some people just write books, and then you just put them away, and then the next thing you know, write another book. This way here is a teaching tool, and I'm working on the next book coming in the future, coming up, called Spiritual Awakenings, having to teach people about the awakenings and how we understand those feelings and emotions. And because I do have to come across people that are dealing with that once in each daily part of their lives. And also, I'm really having a great time here doing radio with bbsradio.com. We have a lot of new features coming in here, a brand new web page. Website, it's up, and as you so far you can see, so far Dawn's doing a fabulous job, and I'm looking forward to seeing the new TV set system all set up here. We're going to have our own webcam so you can see my pretty face, and you might even see Dawn's pretty face up there once in a while, looking at you going like, you're on, and you'll have a great time. And also too, anybody out there who wants to get a call, I'm back here next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Anybody who wants to get a complimentary reading, again, go to the webpage and write the number down so you can be ready. Or if you want to email me any questions that you need a desire to get to make contact with me. And that's about it, guys. I'm looking forward to talking to you in the near future. See you guys next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. It's Pacific Standard Time. And that's about it. Enjoy your spiritual journeys. And this is Derek White Sky Cloud talking to you from Surrey, British Columbia in Canada. And have a wonderful week and enjoy your weather and enjoy your day. Peace to all of you. Many blessings, guys. Bye.